If you're looking to dive into the world of family entertainment business, but find yourself dazed and confused by the challenges of evaluating a current business as an opportunity, or if you're ready to dial up the profitability of your own business, then this podcast is for you. Own and Run Family Fun for Profit podcast will explore the ins and outs of the family entertainment business. Tim Murphy, the CEO of Boomer Parks himself, is joined by a fantastic lineup of industry professionals and insiders that will share their expert insights and advice. So here's your host, Tim Murphy.
How do you boost your profits at your parks? You know, I think there's three areas that you really got to be focused on in family entertainment center business. One, ticketing price, packaging, things of that nature. Two, food and beverage. There's a lot of different opportunities in food and beverage to really increase it. And if you have an arcade and redemption, there's a lot of areas there. So let's talk about this a little bit. All right. So you come into the door and you've got guests coming in. You have ticketing prices, whatever those prices are. You might sell individual tickets to play miniature golf, batting cages, go-karts, whatever it is that you have, laser tag. You might have, you know, maybe a package that's, you know, inclusive of maybe a couple of different attractions. I'd highly recommend taking a look at how do I keep one, my guests there longer. One thing we did when we took over Boomer's Parks is we had season passes, which I thought was a failure to begin with after looking at the previous history of the season passes they had, as well as individual ticket prices. There's a lot to be said in the past. Hey, let's just make sure we get people in the door. We sell them one thing and we can upsell them. Do you really upsell them? A lot of times you can't get your team members to do certain things. If you can't teach them to upsell properly 100% of the time, when you're not there, how do you know you're going to get the maximum profit possible? Well, one way of doing that is change some of your ticket pricing. One, take the individual prices up high. And the reason behind that, let's say hypothetically, you had an attraction and you were charging $9.99 for an attraction. Go on whatever ride, go-karts, whatever it is. I know you probably don't think completely about the repairs and maintenance on go-karts, the fuel and everything that goes with it. But is that enough to cover in today's costs? A go-kart ride, or even miniature golf, because you, even though you have a golf club and ball, you got to take care of the greens, the landscaping, the buildings, all the things that's in the miniature golf. Same with batting cages and so forth. So if you charge that little, the guests are going to gravitate to a lower cost. All right. Now, if you start charging more, say $15.99, $16.99, $17.99 for a single ride, well, that's kind of high, right? I mean, it sounds like it's high. But now what you're trying to do is you're trying to figure out how to keep your guests there longer during the day. Right. So at the end of the day, give yourself a half day pass, a full day pass to do everything. But now you're going to go into $36.99 or $42.99 or $54.99. Maybe you'll throw in some arcade credits to go play some of the arcade with this because you're getting a higher check average. What you're trying to create is value for the guest. The guest wants to see, hey, I'm going to spend a little bit more, but I'm going to get more out of this versus if I have a low price of, you know, $9.99, everyone's going to gravitate towards that $9.99 ride. But if you start moving in the $16, $17, $18.99 for a ride, they're going to say, well, just for double that, I get all of the whole park to use for the next 4 hours. But what you did is you just increased cash revenue that's coming in, and you're still selling just time, just like you were when they came in for one attraction. But now you've got so much more out of them. Now, when that happens, you can now create different packages. You can create a half day pass, a full day pass, throw in some arcade credits, maybe even go a little higher and say, I'm going to throw in a food package with this. If I'm selling soft drinks or I'm selling different items in the food and beverage area, I can get that check average even higher because now they're going to be thirsty. If they're there for 4 hours or full day, they're going to be hungry. You know, you've got opportunities to make them want to do it versus if you have that one ticket price of $9.99, hypothetically, and they come in for that one ride and they leave. They never spend any more money with you on the arcade, never spend any more money on food and beverage. They're not trying to win prizes in the redemption area with arcade. So you're losing out in potential revenue. And what it's done for us, we've been able to take a per cap, a check average, if you will, of roughly $20 and moved it to nearly $50 to $60. And that's huge in the amount of revenue you're taking off your company. But they stay there longer. You guys control your costs throughout this with food and beverage and everything else, but they stay there longer, they spend more. make it so inviting that they will stay there longer. Seats for them to sit down, places inside, places outside. The more that they stay, the more that they spend. So I would look at your ticket price right off the bat and say, am I too low for what's going on? I mean, what's the movie price near you? What's the other attractions that people would have their entertainment dollar going for you? And I bet you, if you look at it, it's going to be less than going to a movie. And, you know, they're going to be there for one attraction. But what you're trying to do is start to get that check average up, and guests will spend more. No different if we now go to food and beverage. Food and beverage has the same type of component. So if you're selling, hypothetically, chips and soda, it's a low price point, right? You want them to spend more. You want them to spend more on pizzas and hot dogs and hamburgers, but not just a single item. Add things to it. What we did when we took over and we looked at our menus, we said, all right, price point's too low, number one. There is not enough combining to get a higher check average out of these. So we started to move the lower price point items of, say, $2 or $3 to now $6, $7. Now, what do? We did take some prices up, yes, but we also looked at it. What's the value the guest is getting if I can combine some things together? You know, chips and soda, chips and hot dog and soda, combo packages that we can put in. So these are the things that we looked at and said, we can take the price up. But what that allowed us to do is take some of the top items a little higher too. So if the top item was, say, $10, $12, we were able to now get it like $16, $17. Now, we've had inflation, we've had other things that have hit us, and you have to take some of the prices up based off of that. But it changed check average to go higher, and people spent more. That's allowed us to go from that $20 price point to $45 to $60. Actually, I've had $65, $70 prices for the week for check average. So the item there is, you're now in food and beverage, and you're looking at, what do I have? Am I selling stuff that's just too cheap, candy, like a candy bar? I mean, you're not going to get much out of it. But if you have that as an option, people are going to go gravitate towards that if they're going to try to be cheap. What you're trying to do is try to psychologically get them to go from a low price point to a slightly higher price point. If I was willing to pay my lowest point of $4 or $5 on the menu, I've moved them from that $2 to $4 or $5, but allows them to also say, for other better options, I can go higher. It's a how you price the product to get the guests to move up higher, and it allows you to get higher price points. So when you see something, you go to a certain, I won't name it, but you go to a certain family entertainment center business and it's a very expensive pizza in a little kid's place. And you go, how could I pay $30, $35 for pizza? What you've done by making all these changes, if you do this in your facility, it now makes all the prices kind of come together. And so that it's not such a stretch from a burger platter to getting to a pizza. So people could trade up to a pizza. You're getting a higher price point if they do want a burger or a hot dog. But the hot dog is not by itself. You're trying to sell it with a combination of sides. Could be French fries, onion rings, salad, fruit. There's a lot of things you could add to this to make it more appetizing because they see value in that price versus having a cheap price. Because what's going to happen is people gravitate towards the cheapest thing as prices continue to escalate with inflation. This here has set up so that it's not so bad. It's like where I go somewhere else in a restaurant. Maybe it's a couple dollars more than what I'm getting somewhere else, but they're in your four walls and they're going to pay it. They're not going to the convenience store down the street and then coming back to your park. They're staying at your park. The longer they stay at your park, the more they spend. So here, you know, we've gone through pricing and creating packages to get the price point up. Same thing with food. You do the same thing. You start pushing it up a little bit higher, and that allows you to get a higher check average. You've got to control costs. That's one of the big things, to control food costs. But the idea here is, how do I move this needle up? For all intents and purposes, you know, for most restaurants, and I worked 150 different brands around the country, most restaurants are 25 to 35% food cost. Day one, we focused on how do we get to 20% food cost? And we've held it. Are we always there? No. I mean, our budget is actually 24% food cost. Oh, we're holding right around a 22% food cost. Some of it's pricing, some of it's portioning that you put on the plates, there's a lot of opportunity there to take a look at. How do I portion this correctly? How do I get the most out of when I portion this on a plate? So food cost is critical. So we drive it through price, we drive it through portion, and we make sure that it seems like the prices are together and they're not way apart. When you have a pizza that's $30, $35 and you have a bag of chips that's $2, what do you think they're going to go for? The cheapest thing possible, if they really just want to get something quick and move on. But when you bring all these different options together, that your lowest price point is in the $5, $6 range and your highest is the pizza, but you have things all in between, you give them plenty of options and now they're going to spend a little bit more than they were thinking of doing before. Can I get in and out? We've taken our soda prices up. We've taken our bottled waters up. We've done all this in all these areas. But the idea here is to get the maximum profit allowable without killing the guest, but making sure that the guest sees value if they continue to trade up. So you've got price, you got ticket opportunities, you have food opportunities. And let's talk about arcade slash redemption. You should always have a redemption if you have an arcade. Things that guests can go win, tickets, tokens, whatever you've got, credits that they can go value to go buy something or win something, I should say. The more that they go play the arcade games, the redemption items, and then can go win something, the more they're going to stay in your arcade. Maybe they'll only play in your arcade 1 hour at a time when they come. But that hour will allow you to earn a lot on these arcade machines and pay back through what you're giving out as gifts. Make sure your gifts are, you know, the items that they can win are for all ages, not just little kids. You know, adults play these things too. But the thing you got to look at when you make money on this is making sure that you're pricing things correctly on the arcade that will attract them to play and then attract them to win. So you could have a strategy that says, hey, I'm going to charge a little bit more than others in arcades, but they may not play it as much, and hence they may not win as much in redemption. If you price it right on the different redemption games, they'll win tickets and then want to go to the redemption area and redeem. Now, some will come in for just birthday parties, groups, whatever it might be, and they'll play a few games here or there and they'll redeem for those little things. But you'll find regulars that will come in if it's priced correctly, that they'll keep playing and playing. We've had one individual that would come in and say, I know how to win this game. I'm going to do it. And he would drop $130 into this machine over the next couple of hours just to go win the silly prize. Now, I say silly prize, but to them, it's a value. That's what they see in this. So you have to have something that's going to get them to play the game and continue to play the game. And then you could make up for it if you need to by raising your credit price on when they redeem it. Now, another thing I'll give you as a tip that we've seen great for us is we change to credits on the arcade machines. Well, what does that do? You know, no different. I mean, there's different philosophies and what people think, but what we did learn is that guests do not know how to count and convert credits to dollars. Because of that, they play more, they spend more. And we've seen in arcade, our credits increase. I mean, our take on the arcade machines increase because people played more to ultimately go win the game. So just a little bit of a tidbit of an opportunity that you have there. But, you know, you can go either direction, but make sure that it seems like, OK, if I'm playing a couple credits, this makes logical sense. Again, when you calculate maybe in the past that your game was 50 cents, but you can do a credit that's 80 cents, it's a big difference when they start playing. That adds up pretty quick when you look at the breakdown of that. So it's something to take a look at. We did our redemption. We reviewed based off of credits. And of course, whenever you have redemption, it's stale. Lower your credit prices so they can move the inventory out of there. That's one thing you need to do on the redemption side of it. Have it stocked, but when things don't move, people's preferences change, or maybe it was based on iconic TV shows, sports teams, whatever it might be, move the product and lower your credit so that you can move the inventory. Get it out of your office. Get it out of your location so that they'll play and keep playing until they win that game. As we summarize kind of where we've gone through, there's a lot of opportunities in ticket price, packaging correctly, moving that check average up. If you can package this to get them there to spend more, stay longer too, and not just play one low price game. So you're starting to bring that price together. In food and beverage, no different. Look at what you've got. Take your prices up, bring things in. Try to make sure that your pricing is a range that they can go to, but don't have a low range of, hey, I want to go in there. I can do something for just $2 to eat. Yeah, you can do that all day long. And watching profits go out is, if you set it too low, then, you know, I just wouldn't have candy bars there. I just wouldn't have things that's too low. I'd have something that's $4, $5, $6, $7 range that they start with, and it can go up to the pizzas that you might have. And then on food and beverage, I mean, on the redemption, I think the thing you've got to really look at is, do I have a good balance between my credits that I charge and, you know, what they can redeem as prizes so that I make the maximum out of it? Again, if the product has not been moving on the redemption, lower the credits, get rid of the product as quickly as you can. You could do grab bags. There's mystery bags. There's different things. People put things in there. Oh, I want to win that mystery bag for whatever the credits are. And you're just moving product out of there. That's not moving. In addition, you know, take a look at maybe switching the credits from dollars, because there's an opportunity. People don't know how to count quickly. And if you do, great. But if they don't, which we found they do not, they pay more and spend more on the arcade.
That's it for today's episode of Own and Run Family Fun for Profit. Head it over to iTunes or wherever you subscribe to your podcasts. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing, a $15,000 private VIP day with Tim Murphy himself. Be sure to head on over to ownandrunfamilyfun.com and pick up a free copy of Tim Murphy's gift, and join us on the next episode.